as we begin our study. We're going to let our young people slip away to junior church. And we're going to start a study of events that we learn from Christmas, from the Lord's invasion in the planet Earth. We have three Sundays between now and Christmas, so we're going to spend three Sundays looking at the birth of Jesus Christ and lessons that we can take away from that. Well, I'm going to start with probably the best-known verse in the Bible, which is John 3:16, and deal with some verses that are in that immediate proximity. John 3:16 is where our study is going to begin. I want to look at what kind of love is this that would come to a world that's so hostile in order to bring about redemption. So let me read the passage, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord to help us in our study. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. Well, let's pray. Lord, as we open your word, we do pray that you'd guide us through our study this morning and help us to see the lesson that you have for us, particularly as we anticipate the Christmas season and are reminded again of just the joy that it brings to us and to our communities as well, the doors that it opens for us. So guide our time, we pray, in our study. And Lord, we want to thank you for the abundant blessings to us, and thank you for the offerings that folks make. And we pray that as we become stewards of those resources, that we will use them properly and efficiently for the advancement of your kingdom here on planet Earth. And so, guide our time, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this well-known verse that everyone knows and everyone has, I shouldn't say everyone has memorized, but I'll bet you most of you have it memorized, because it is such a beautiful single verse summary of the gospel message. And the lesson that we're going to take away from this is that this is a sacrificial love, and that's our first point. God loves this world with a genuinely sacrificial love. And what's so stunning about it is the fact that the world was so hostile and has been so hostile to his love. So that's really kind of point A. The world is a hostile place. It is hostile toward God, and it's hostile toward the people of God. When we look at the world's history, we can see that what God created, when he created it, was beautiful. And he was with Adam and Eve in the garden. It says he walked with them. But they rebelled against him. And the result was the degeneration, the descent of planet Earth that we've seen in all the millennia since. Why, even Adam and Eve's own home, Cain has killed his brother Abel. Before you could get out of the second generation, there was murder that was a part of the definition of the human race. And of course, we know from the book of Genesis that as the population of the world grew, that the whole world became wicked, so wicked to the point that God rescued Noah and his family and flooded the rest of the world. And then after Noah and his family were settled, God called out a family through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in order to be an example to the world of what his rules and his guidelines would provide in a nation. And of course, the world rejected God's family. But even the nation of Israel as they grew, found themselves at various times at odds with God. When he brought them out of the land of Egypt to the land that he promised them, they rebelled and wouldn't go into the land out of fear. So he took him into the wilderness and let that whole generation expire and brought another generation in. We know that the people chafed and championed having a king, and so God gave them a king. When he gave them a king, they then began to rebel against the king, and the kings became progressively worse. What's fascinating when you read the books of 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles as it's describing the kings that come to power, that it uses frequently, and he was worse than all the kings that had preceded him. So when they were on this just downward course of degeneracy. We know that when the Lord Jesus himself did come, that he was met with hostility and rejection, with the throwing of stones, with cursing, beating, and ultimately crucifixion. This world is a hostile world, and it is hostile to the things of God. And so I'm submitting to you this morning that this simple verse of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, is a stunning statement of radical love, of an invasive love. When there was every compelling reason for God to just say, you know what, enough of this, and wad it up and throw it away. Maybe you say, I'm going to start this whole thing over again. I won't give them free will next time. Instead, despite all of the hostility and all of the vile behavior, he enters into that. It's an invasive, radical love, and that's what God has done. He invaded the world anyway. He came in. He made himself known. So as we approach this Christmas season and we think about the babe in the manger, we love the nativity scenes and the songs and the giving of gifts, and we certainly love the assembling together of family and a fellowship. But let's also be thinking about what kind of love would so motivate the heart of God that he would engage this world that was so hostile toward him, that was so rebellious of him. The crowds shouting out, crucify him, crucify him, when he had done nothing to deserve it. So the passage tells us that the love of God is what motivated him to give. Verse 17, he did not send his son into the world that he might condemn it, but that the world might be saved through him. What an extraordinary love. The challenge that you and I have in all of this is to consider, what does that love mean to us? Because you and I are also called to love. We're called to actually reflect the love of God in terms of our dealings with other people. That we are being transformed, fashioned into the image of his son. So the goal of the Christian life is not simply to be saved because he does that in an instant, but also to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and the way we behave and the way we conduct ourselves. I think everybody here who's been a Christian for at least a month has already seen some of that transformation. And if it's been for longer than that, you've seen more and more of it. I hope you have. And where is he taking you? He's taking you into the image of his son with that kind of radical love. Let's go to the second part, because what he's done through that gift is he has given a chance to be saved to the sinner. That's our second point. And that's in verse 18. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. So this act of faith then results in forgiveness. When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, and I am confident that that describes most of you here in this room, most of you who are watching this, that you have made that decision to put your trust in Jesus Christ, and as a result, you have this extraordinary hope and anticipation, this realization that this is not all there is, and you have that because of the radical love of God. Because when he could have said, forget it, it is too hostile, it's too broken, it's too damaged, he pressed in anyway. And he not only did that in the form of a baby. I mean, he entered into our world in the most vulnerable possible way. Of all the creatures on the face of the earth, the human is the most vulnerable at birth. I mean, deer take their first step on their first day of birth. Lots of animals do. Lots of animals have. They wake up and there's no pair around at all. Turtles hatch out and they just kind of make their own way back to the water. But baby humans are so vulnerable, they can't even feed themselves. The only thing they can do is let you know very effectively that they're hungry and they want fed or something. They're not going to be able to tell you what, but they want it and they want it now. He came as a baby. What a statement of radical love. What a point of vulnerability. We understand the theology of it. We get the reality of the fact that he took on humanity so that he could be our substitute at Calvary's cross. But he's motivated by that third word in the very first verse we looked at, by love. He so loved the world. And that love, he is calling us to replicate, to walk in as well. And he says he's not going to be successful because he does continue to give free will in having everyone believe this. And verse 18 makes that clear. If you don't believe, it's not going to be advantageous to you. But if you do believe, then there will be life everlasting. And so continuing in the disbelief results in condemnation. But the lesson, I think, that we want to consider as we look at this radical love is the extent to which we replicate that radical love ourselves. Because we have situations that you could call hostile. We have situations that are challenging and difficult, that our flesh wants to withdraw from that. Our flesh wants to either run away from that or to build a wall to that so we don't have to deal with it anymore. Sometimes we have situations at work where we are dealing with somebody that you could honestly call an ogre. And we will respond to that by trying to figure out some way to just protect ourselves. We might not be able to leave, so we'll build a wall so we don't have to deal with that person anymore. And the love that is evidenced for us here is a love that is radically invasive. It doesn't build the wall. Instead, it sees a different possible conclusion and engages with love. Sometimes in families, there's a difficulty, and I know that there's not just a few folks that, especially at this time of the year, go through friction and tension in their home. Sometimes it's with parents and kids. Sometimes it's between mom and dad. And the tension can become very toxic and very threatening to the relationship. And the tendency is to say, I want out of here. I don't want to deal with this. The flesh cries for release and relief, saying, get me away. And if it can't do that, then it wants to build a wall for protection so they don't have to deal with you and all your issues. But I'm saying that if we take a lesson from the baby in the manger, what we're looking at is an extraordinary level of vulnerability motivated by an extraordinary level of love. And the Lord is saying, this is the kind of love I want you to walk in a love that engages in that situation. Walk in a love that is patient. You're not going to change everybody. You don't know who will and who won't. Verse 18 says, some will believe and some will not. But it didn't keep the Lord Jesus Christ from making it available to all. And you don't know. Perhaps that ogre is ready to make a decision for Jesus Christ and become marvelously transformed. If the love of God prevails in us, if it moves us, if it begins to bear the fruit of making us more like Jesus Christ, we're going to find ourselves called to more radical love, the uncomfortable kind of love that takes us away from our self-protection and our self-defense and engages with those that we have the least interest in doing so. The Lord is faithful to us, and we don't know what he's going to come do about that, but one of the things I think that we need to understand is the flesh says, you know, I just have one life and you're ruining it, so I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And the scripture says, your life is an investment. It's a short period of time, and you do not have just one life. You have all of eternity, and I am making you more and more like my son. God's capable of doing the remarkable, the unbelievable. He's always been capable of doing that. I marvel at what he can do with carbon. With carbon, he can make a lump of gold, or he can make a beautiful diamond. Sugar contains a lot of carbon. He can make that. Who knows what he can do if you'll do it his way? Well, let's move on to our third point. When all was lost, love entered anyway. He says in verse 19, this then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. And this light, it entered into a dark world. The world was hostile and contrary. We know what the scripture says, that they were plotting against him. They took up stones to throw at him. They cried out, crucify him. And indeed, they did crucify him. He knew all of this, and he came anyway, motivated by love. The light entered into this dark world, and God knew that not everyone was going to respond. That's our second point. He says not everybody will take advantage of the light, but for those who do, it is a remarkable, wonderful deliverance. And that love led to life for many. There were many who regained satisfaction, the joy, the delight of coming into a relationship with the living God and then experiencing eternal life. So that love has led to life for many. There was an incident that happened in the previous century with a man who was a famous painter. His name was Sir James Thornhill, and he had been commissioned to paint St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And it was a very high project, and so they had created or erected scaffolding for him to work from. And he was way up on the top of the scaffolding and had just spent hours completing a very detailed part of this painting that was going to be at the cathedral. And as he finished the painting, he stepped back to look at his work. And then to look at the larger extent of the work, he stepped back again. And as he was working his way back to take it all in, because it was really coming to the place of being completed, his helper, noticed that he had one more step before he would walk off the back of the scaffolding to his certain death. And the worker faced an instantaneous decision. If I yell out, he may be startled and actually take that last step and fall to his death. And so the worker just grabbed a brush out of his kit, dipped it in paint, and marked a big smear across everything they'd just Sir James Thornhill, shocked, lunged forward. What are you doing, you idiot? And then when the man explained to him what he had done, was profoundly grateful for his action, for his deed. I don't think ugly people in difficult situations are always easy. My goodness sakes, my wife and I have been married for 48 years. She can tell you that I'm not an easy person to live with. We've had our bouts and our rounds, our difficulties and our challenges. But I will say to you that the call that the Lord makes to the man or woman who is in Christ is a call that says, go deep with the love. It's easy to build the walls. It's easy to listen to the flesh, overrule the flesh, and love with an invasive, radical love that trusts God for what he can do, because he can work miracles, but he'd like to do it with you. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ on Christmas Day so long ago. Thank you for the invasion into our story. Thank you for such an amazing love. That you would not turn away. You would not be willing to simply dispose of what had gone so wrong, but instead paid an extraordinary price to love us radically. Thank you for that, Lord, and help us, we pray, to be people who learn to love.